Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We are coming to you from Fresno, California, just outside the Piccadilly on Shaw. It's always great to be in Fresno, but also here in the Valley. And today we have a very special guest, Jessica Patterson, who is the not only the new Republican chairwoman elected here, but also she is the first woman ever elected and as the chairman of the Republican Party. And she's also probably the youngest, I would guess close to the youngest chairwoman ever elected in the history of the state party. It's normally like old guys that have been around a long time. So Jessica, welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. And I just want our listeners to learn about you. So let's start with just really simple basics, like where were you born? You know, where'd you go to school? That sort of thing. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Congressman. I grew up in a suburb of Los Angeles, a small town called Hacienda Heights. And when I was in high school, my family moved about 20 minutes west to a suburb outside of East Los Angeles, a city called Montebello. And the schools were better in Hacienda Heights, so I was one of five children. And every day, my mom would drive us 20 minutes east back to Hacienda Heights so we could all go to school there. And we are a good Catholic family. And every day, each one of us five children had to say a decade of the rosary on the way to school every day.
Sounds like my family. Whenever we go on long trips, my wife has our three girls say the rosary in the car.
Right, right. And at the time, you know, I didn't completely appreciate it. I mostly just wanted to turn on Rick Dees in the morning, but now as an adult and with my two daughters, I completely appreciate it and have passed it on to them as well. But I really got my start in Republican politics on that car ride to school every day. We'd get off the freeway, the 60 freeway at Hacienda Boulevard, and we'd head up Hacienda and turn on Colima. And right on the corner of Colima and Hacienda, there was a Republican headquarters. Now, both of my parents were Democrats. My mom was probably what you'd refer to as a Reagan Democrat. And my dad was a big labor guy. He was a Teamster shop steward. And so when my parents heard that I wanted to volunteer at the Republican headquarters, they were a little bit surprised.
So did you just, you would drive by, you like the elephant or you like the colors? What was the...
Well, to be quite frank, you know, the way that my parents had raised us, the conversations were always incredibly open. They always challenged us to think for ourselves, as you can tell from my mom's faith background. She was a very faithful person. And with my father, he was just the hardest working person that I knew. And I think that it should come as no surprise the way that they raised us, that they raised five Republicans, because their actions were very, what I believe, Republican actions. Working hard, only do for yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. Make sure that you bring faith and friendships and families and those things that are important. Personal responsibility. These are things that they instilled in us. And so, you know, they both later converted in life. But at the time, we're both Democrats.
Well, all of my, not all of my grandparents, but some of my grandparents were Democrats and didn't convert until I ran for Congress and they had to convert in order to vote for me in the Republican primary. So I know that that you're Hispanic by background. And one of the things that I always tell people about there's no such thing as like a Latino or a Hispanic culture. It's almost like identity politics, and they strip away the identity of people who actually do come from somewhere, right? So I grew up obviously here in the Central Valley, where we've got people that come from all over the globe, whether it be the Azores, where my family originates from, and then we've got a lot of people from Mexico, but even within that population, there's people that come from just south of the border, from Tijuana area, but then you have a lot of people here that are from Guadalajara, you know, that go back generations. You have some people here, you have families that are of Spanish or Mexican descent that were here for 200 years. So there's all sorts of people here in the Valley. But in addition, you know, now, and I wouldn't say it's not so recently, but probably starting in the late 70s, early 80s, we had a lot of people that came from Central America, El Salvador, Guatemala. And I think a lot of the current immigration that you see is coming from those Central American countries. And then, of course, if you're from South America, that's a totally different world than if you're Brazilian or Argentinian or Chilean than if you're from El Salvador.
Absolutely.
So what I always like to do about this is so where are you? I know your background, but where's your family originally from? Both your mom and your dad, both sides of the family.
On my dad's side, my grandfather was born in Mexico. My grandmother actually was born in America on a farm in Chino, just in San Bernardino County.
Uh-huh, sure.
But she grew up most of her life in Mexicali, just over the border. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, you know, Nanita, she didn't speak English very well, even though she was born here. And my grandfather came from Mexico when he was about 9 years old. And so he went on to go to Pepperdine to get his undergrad. He became a teacher. He went to USC graduate school and really got to live the American dream, which is so amazing to be able to see all of the challenges that they went through, all of the sacrifices that they made so that my dad and his four brothers and sisters could have a good life here in America. My mom, on the other side, is her background is Ukrainian and Irish.
That's quite a mix.
Exactly, she is from Brooklyn, New York, by way of Long Island. And
I'm glad you're not Russian, or else you might be under investigation in Congress right now.
My mistake. I shouldn't mention that.
This seems to be a trend. It's like everybody I have now has some connection back to Russia in every one of my podcasts. I don't know how that happens.
Maybe that should tell you something. But, you know, both of my parents were those types of people that were out there working hard, and their parents had that same. My grandmother was mostly, on my mom's side, a single mom who raised girls. My grandfather died when my mom was about 12 and worked really incredibly hard to make sure that she could provide for her three daughters. And so these are the types of things that you learn within the family. And on the cultural side of things, I would say that the one thing that even, you know, it's the religion, the Catholic faith for us, that brings, you know, a Ukrainian Irish woman and a Mexican man together here. And that's one of the other great things about being here in America. In California, you see it a lot, because we no longer have, you know, these specific things that categorize us into one thing, because it's this melting pot. And, you know, I am a product of that. My children are a product of that. You look at my kids next to my sister's kids, and she's married to a full Guatemalan. And so my kids, and I'm married to a man who is Irish, Polish, and Lithuanian. And so my kids next to my sister's kids look very, very different, but we're all from the same family.
Mm-hmm. Well, then that's what I like for everybody to know, because across the country, everybody thinks that, you know, California with all these different nationalities, especially heavy, because the Democrats always say the Latinos are all with us. So they try to group everybody in this Latino category. And then, you know, when they do polling, oh, this many Latinos or this many Latinos or that. And I always want to make it clear to people, that's, if you subscribe to that, you're basically wiping away people's identity and putting it into a box for a political party. So thanks for clarifying that. So let's move on now. So you went to college where?
I went to Cal State Northridge. I'm a Matador. And so that's actually where I met my husband. And I really only had two requirements, and that was that he was Catholic and that he was Republican. And he fit both of those things. I learned very quickly in our political science classes that he and I had a lot of the same views, mm-hmm. and we became very good friends first. And we were actually on the Model UN team that went back to New York to represent our country. And that's where we fell in love with each other. And the rest is history.
And were you involved in like college Republicans or young Republicans?
We didn't have a college Republicans at Cal State Northridge at the time. I was actually interning for both Assemblyman Bob Pacheco, mm-hmm. who was with the state legislature and was one of our local legislators down in Hacienda Heights where I grew up. But I was also an intern of the state party. So we didn't have college Republicans at Cal State Northridge, and they did start it about 2 years later when I was the county executive director for Ventura County Republican Party.
And so right out of college, you started working in Republican politics.
Shortly after, I did some interning. When I went to college, I was actually a waitress on roller skates. It was a 50s themed diner, and we wore little pink skirts, and we sang, and we danced, and I managed to
You're
walk
like the
away.
Republican version of AOC. No, just joking.
That's okay.
I wouldn't want to put you in that category.
Oh, that's okay. And, it was a great opportunity for me to be able to go to college, do my internships, work, and I walked away from Cal State Northridge with zero student loans. And I knew that the great equalizer out there was education. And I knew that as long as I worked hard and finished my degree, that I'd be able to have a good life for myself here in California. And it was really a huge focus for me to make sure that I did that without any student loan debt.
And you stayed in, and then you stayed in politics, right? You worked different races. You've worked because you've kind of done one of the things I know that a lot of people appreciated about your background is that you've actually done the grunt work in politics. You started at the very bottom, like interning, putting up signs, walking door to door, and eventually, I think you've run some campaigns.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Tell us a couple stories of interest about your work in this.
And, I've been training and recruiting candidates over the last 8 years with California Trailblazers, which, as you know, is the state version of the National Young Guns Program. And one of the things that we always do with our training for our candidates is to make sure that they don't tell their resume, because as Republicans, that's constantly what we're trying to do. We're trying to do the job interview and let everybody know all of our experiences, but to really tell their story. So I started out with my first paying gig as a county executive director in Ventura County. Back then, our state party, we had Governor Schwarzenegger, who had just been elected in the recall, and Duff Sundheim, who was our chairman at the time, just did a phenomenal job of working with the governor and raising the money and putting together these county executive directors.
And for those
programs.
Listeners out there who don't know where Ventura County is, it's just north of Los Angeles and south of Santa Barbara. It's a beautiful part
of
the world.
It's paradise.
And I believe that's where the Reagan Library is also. Is it in Ventura County?
It is 1.3 miles from my front doorstep.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's literally one street up. I run up there all the time. My girls love going up there and looking at all of the flags with the presidents. So yes, and it is what I refer to as paradise. Mm-hmm. So after that, I worked for Governor Schwarzenegger. I was his regional political director. And I think that's when you and I first met. I had the Central Coast, the Central Valley, and the Bay Area that was later added onto my area for Governor Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. From there, I went on to work for Mayor Giuliani, Senator McCain in that 2008 presidential election. I worked for Senator Coleman on his recount and his contest, and then came back to California and worked for Meg Whitman.
So you've done a lot.
I have.
You've done a lot of work. And I know that's one of the reasons why people were excited to have somebody like you you've been on the ground, you've been recruiting candidates, you've done all this work. But I have a big question for you. So Republicans hit rock bottom here. And we'll just kind of finish up with this. So after the election, party looks decimated. How does a young, bright person like yourself say, you know what, I'm gonna step up to the plate and I'm gonna take this on and try to help California and try to fix the Republican Party and get us back on the road? How do you wake up one morning and say, I'm gonna do that?
Well, to be quite frank, this wasn't something that I ever had in my plan. I was very happy and very comfortable with my anonymity. I enjoyed being behind the scenes. I enjoyed helping other people. And the conversation started happening in very different organic circles. I tried for a long time to package it away in a box, put it aside and say, no, this isn't for me. This isn't what I want. But after 8 years of recruiting and training candidates, when I found the perfect candidate for the perfect race, and they're giving me all the reasons why they couldn't or they shouldn't do something, I always leave them with two questions. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? And so for the first time, I had to ask myself those questions. And if it wasn't going to be me, who was it going to be that could win? And if it wasn't going to be now, when was it going to be? At that time, we had party leaders, people that are friends of yours and mine, mm-hmm. that were saying the California Republican Party is dead.
Right.
The California Republican Party isn't salvageable. And I believe that if I didn't do it now, I didn't know what we could come back to. And so that's why I decided to do it.
And there you have it, folks. Meet the new chairman, chairwoman. What do you like to be called?
I'm not label specific.
The new chair.
It's gender neutral.
The new chair of the Republican Party, Jessica Patterson. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to hear your story.
Thank you for having me.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.